America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Time to feed you some football. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Bob Haney with you. Vinny's on his way to one winning drive. Ravens getting ready for training camp day two. Lamar missed the opener yesterday with an illness. Will he be out there? We'll know before we get off the air at 2 o'clock. But it's Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw joining us now to talk about the National Football League as the season will be upon us before you know it. Longtime NFL writer, been there, done that. Let's welcome back to the show, Jason Cole. Jason, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore, as always.
Good to be here. What's going on?
A little of this, little of that, as you would expect, because John Harbaugh was doing a lot of talking yesterday about old number 8. Said the plan and the goal is for Lamar Jackson to be the greatest quarterback in the history of the National Football League. Tall stuff for sure. By saying that, what does John Harbaugh do for Lamar Jackson there?
I don't know. What's John doing? I don't get this at all. I like Lamar Jackson as a player. I think he's a terrific player. You win a lot of games with him. He gets you into the playoffs. He gives you a chance, right? But where are we, like, how are we possibly lining him up with Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Patrick Mahomes, or we'll go back in time to Dan Marino or John Elway, or, like, how does this happen? Like, I know the Harbaughs have this sort of tendency to say kind of kooky things from time to time, because, like, when you grow up, you know, quoting Shakespeare out loud to each other, which they've done, okay, you tend to come up with these ideas that you're supposed to say something really overwhelming at a time. But is it enough to say he's, like, really good? Yeah. And we're happy with that? Like, greatest quarterback of all time? Like, come on, man.
Well, you know, of course, yeah, we're in Baltimore, and there are a lot of older listeners who are going, hey, hello, John Unitas, anyone? Bueller. But for Lamar, and you've been around the sports, and in particular, Jason, the NFL, for a long time. He can go 17-0, win his third MVP, throw for 4,000 yards, 40 TDs, they go one and done divisional round of the playoffs. Nobody's going to care about the regular season success anymore. I wouldn't think. You mentioned Marino. He played one Super Bowl, and that was his second year in the league. And as great as he was, I don't think anybody really talks about him as being one of the best of all time because he sans hardware there, I guess.
I covered Dan Marino for 8 years, and it was the second half of his career, but not the first half. But, you know, like, again, Lamar Jackson's terrific player. I don't want to turn this the wrong way. I like Lamar Jackson. And sometimes when you're a team, like, getting a guy who gets you in the playoffs, who can get you in, and then you see how things go, and you realize, okay, he's not better than Mahomes. But going and finding somebody that's better than Mahomes is impossible right now, right? Like, that's, you know, maybe he's not better than Josh Allen or Joe Burrow, but there's only a couple of guys. And, you know, sometimes those guys get hurt or their teams don't play well. So you take your chance that you get that one year where it all magically comes together and you might win a championship with a guy like that. And Lamar Jackson is capable of winning a championship under the right circumstances. You know, got to have a good defense, got to have a good running game, got to have complimentary player, all those things that we talk about. But by himself, like, you know, just you'd be happy to have a quarterback like Lamar Jackson in most cases. That's just how this works. And so I don't get the need to elevate him beyond not just all the guys playing right now, but like, let's go back over 105 years of history of the NFL and like just put him at the top of that list. Like, I don't get what John Harbaugh was trying to accomplish yesterday, other than to hear himself talk.
Jason Cole joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you on this Monday. All right, you mentioned Joe Burrow, the AFC North Ravens. They're going to be one of the favorites to get to the Super Bowl, possibly win it, as we've discussed. Hey, Cincinnati was 9-8 last year without Burrow for the final 6 weeks of the season. He's been given clearance to rock and roll with the wrist and everything. How much does he elevate the Bengals minus Joe Mixon? I guess T. Higgins might be disgruntled, who really knows, but Cincinnati goes from 9-8 health permitting to what this year in the division?
Well, they're a 12-win, 13-win team, depending on if the offensive line can hold up, because they still didn't have, you know, a lot of, the performance on the offensive line was not great last year, no matter what, right? But I still like the team, and if Burrow is himself, and we'll see that, you know, like they're a serious contender. Now, last year he started off really poorly because he's coming off that, what was it, calf ankle injury. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. But, you know, he had some problems early in the season. I just, you know, like, this is Joe Burrow. And if you talk about guys with having an understanding of how the game is supposed to be played, having understanding of timing, strength, ability to make pretty much any throw, and having receivers around him who can make that offense go, you can cover for running backs, okay? You can find a guy who could do what Joe Mixon did last year, in fact, what he's done over the last 2 years. Now, I do worry a little bit about T. Higgins because he's super talented guy, and we'll see how he responds under the one-year thing. But most of the time when guys are like this, number one, they play a lot because you got to play to get paid. And number two, they usually perform when they're that talented. So I'll take my chances with T. Higgins in this situation and let him ride it out.
Now, Cleveland, Pittsburgh in the division, obviously. The better quarterback situation, Jason, on July 22nd is with which team right now?
Oof. I guess it's Deshaun Watson. Like, if you're talking about a guy who's still, you think, has some upside left in his career and could get back to being what he was at one time in Houston. But, man, that's such a monumental fall for Deshaun Watson. It's the injuries, it's the off-the-field stuff. And I will always go back to this. You know, I understand why he took that contract. You know, it's a fully guaranteed contract. There's a life altering, family, generational money, right? And I get it. But when you go to a place that you're not necessarily comfortable or happy, are you going to get the best out of yourself? And sometimes guys do, and then sometimes guys don't. And I think that there was a lot of doubt in Deshaun Watson. And I say that all to say, look, I still think the talent is there and he gets it together. And they run an offense that's complimentary for him with a good running game. So they're not asking a ton out of him, but I'm not comfortable with how that situation's constructed. I'm less comfortable with Pittsburgh because Like Russell Wilson is past his prime, and Justin Fields has never found his prime.
Right.
And I don't know what's ever going to happen with either one of those two guys. But I would say that the addition of Arthur Smith as an offensive coordinator, if they can, they'll have a offense that makes sense. Like the last 2 years, they have not had an offense that has made sense, and that killed Pickett. And maybe they can finally get something out of the wide receiver. But man, he's a head case. I just think that they're it's going to be a better looking offense, and hopefully they can take advantage of what they've got on defense. You know, it's complicated because that defense has kept them in the last two seasons almost single-handedly.
Jason Cole talking some NFL with us, NFL Lunch Style. Bob Haney with you on The Fan. All right, Jason, last thing. A year ago at this time, a lot of people, myself included, smooching a lot of Jacksonville rear end. Watch out for them. I mean, they're going to be the team that could be creeping up to the top of things, and they didn't. Now, Houston, the Texans appear to be that team. What about Houston? Are you all in on them challenging Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, et cetera, for supremacy in the conference?
Not quite ready to put them there, but certainly they went like, if there was a 4 or 5 step difference between those two, and I'm talking about major step, like big steps in building, they did like 3 or 4 steps of building in 1 year. Especially with the quarterback playing the way he is. I want to see how people react, how defenses react to the quarterback the second year around, but I think that what we saw last year was real and what C.J. Stroud can do. That was his revelation as a player, and his progress as a player was stunning, was even more stunning in a positive way than the stunning sort of just regression. I don't know if it's complete regression or just flop of Trevor Lawrence. Because I thought Trevor Lawrence was going to be this just exceptional player who, you know, was like going to be, you know, was going to be a lot like Peyton Manning and just move through the NFL and elevate himself. And what he's done is he's kind of hit the ceiling where he is, this is not, it's almost an insult to Matt Ryan to compare him to Matt Ryan, because Matt Ryan played so hard and got so much out of himself. But Trevor Lawrence is a more talented player than Matt Ryan, but he's playing at Matt Ryan levels. And he's better than that. And Matt Ryan played at a higher level because he worked so hard at it and was took advantage of everything he had. Trevor Lawrence is just not taking advantage of everything he had, whereas C.J. Stroud came in last year and took advantage of everything, left nothing to chance. Looked like he had been in the league for 3 years and was ready for everything that people were going to throw at him. Now, we'll see. After people have had a year to scout him, how does it go after 1 year? I mean, we saw it with Lamar Jackson even. You couldn't play the way that you played your first couple of years in the league is not the same way you play when you're in year 6 or 7. You have to change. You have to alter. And Lamar Jackson has done that. We'll see if C.J. Stroud does it. I just like the fact that he did it as a passer last year and not as a runner. And that tells me he's going to get there faster.
Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer. Jason, as always, appreciate the time and the opinion. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Be good. Thanks.
You got it. Jason Cole, everybody. We'll come back. American League East Report. Yankees and Rays having at it as we speak. Give you a score update there. And then we're going to hear from John Harbaugh. Met with the media yesterday that it's a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, takes over too. Orioles are off today in Miami, taking on the Marlins. 3-game series starting tomorrow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
640. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you on this Monday. Vinny's out at one winning drive with the Ravens, day two of training camp 2024. As soon as we get an attendance report, ladies and gentlemen, we will share that with you. But talks of baseball, Oriole baseball in particular, losing the finale to the Texas Rangers yesterday afternoon. 3-2, Jonah Heim, former Oriole draft pick, three-run homer off Dean Kramer, bottom of the fourth. Orioles didn't scratch until the top of the eighth when Anthony Santander hit a two-run jack. But the Orioles do drop that one 0-6 with runners in scoring position, 3-19, I believe it was, last 2 days of the series. And they do win the series, let's stress that. Hit 8 home runs, as a matter of fact, over the 3 days in Arlington against the defending world champions, as we all recall, the team that dismissed the Orioles in 3 games in last year's divisional round. But I guess a measure of revenge, if you want to call it that. Winning 2 out of 3 here. Out of the break, which is great. On Friday night, the opener, Tony Taters hit 2 of the Orioles' 4 homers. Corbin Burns picked up his 10th win. And then Grayson Rodriguez also benefiting from some run support. O'Hearn and Westberg, and among others, they went deep. Grayson Rodriguez now, 12 wins on the year? And earned run average, not Burns-like. But, I mean, we're still talking about a relatively young man, and only it's his first full season in the major leagues. Because Nolan, remember, last year he got called up in May, or might have been late April, then got clobbered. They got sent back to the minors and pitched like one of the best pitchers in baseball second half of the season.
And that's really been one of the most encouraging things about him for me, is just being able to stay durable. Sometimes with young pitchers, that can be a concern, and teams even err on the side of caution and try to hold them back a little bit, maybe keep them on an innings limit. It doesn't appear to be the case or necessary at all with Grayson. He's been a full go since the start of the season.
And with he and Corbin Burns, you're set. And as Rich Dubroff from BaltimoreBaseball.com brought up, and we talked about it when the injury happened, Kyle Bradish, that was huge. Because you can go to any short series with those three and like your chances. Now, Bradish probably out through next season, which increases the urgency to bring in a starting pitcher. If you missed this news, we talked about it earlier. J.P. Morosi from MLB Network, among others, tweeting out or axing out, whatever the bleep that is, that Tigers have scouts following Norfolk. So, Tarek Skubal, they're listening. But the question is, what are they going to want in return for a guy that won't be a free agent until 2027?
Right.
And might win the Cy Young Award this year.
Absolutely. And there were conversations last year at the deadline between the Orioles and the White Sox for Dylan Cease. Those were real conversations by all indications. Nothing ever came of it. So we're having conversations now. Another elite pitcher. Can you pull the trigger? Can you get something done?
Jack Flaherty, he's available. I mean, I know you're kind of frowning upon that, but he is pitching much better than he was last year. I actually watched him throw a couple innings up Friday as he beat the Blue Jays there at Rogers Center.
Right. I mean, his strikeout numbers this year have been off the charts. I don't know what's different about him in that regard or just overall as a pitcher, but he's been completely different than not only what he was with Baltimore, but really the last couple of years with St. Louis. I mean, this year is almost on pace for a career year in some regards.
Yep. So Jack Flaherty is a free agent after the season. Looks like Detroit's open for business there. But the trade deadline in 8 days, what are the Orioles going to do? We'll all find out together once Mike Elias can consummate a deal with another team. But outside of the Orioles yesterday in the division, losing 3-2 to the Rangers, Tampa was in the Bronx taking on the Yankees, by the way, doing the same today. Series finale, scoreless top of the second in the Bronx. But yesterday, right out of the gate, Tampa making some noise with the sticks.
And a shot back into right field. That's got some carry. That baby's going to go. Home run to start this game off the bat of Richie Palacios.
Dwayne Stats, Bally Sports. That was off Marcus Stroman. Tampa added a couple more long balls over the course of the game, and they win that one 6-4, trying to make it 3 out of 4 against New York because Tampa's done such a good job against New York. The Orioles gain a game over the weekend against the Yankees. The Orioles win that dramatic finale against New York heading into the All-Star break, but 2 games up in the division. We'll get to the standings more detailed here in a couple of minutes. Toronto is taking on the aforementioned Tigers, and a guy that got a big old hefty contract in free agency a couple of years ago, you know, for a short period, lived up to that.
2-1. Swing and a fly ball. Left center field. Curling back McKinstry. At the wall. That ball's gone! Another home run for George Springer, and the Blue Jays take a 3-0 lead.
Blue Jays radio, George Springer hit 2 homers, as you heard, on the day as Toronto holds off the Tigers 5-4. Kevin Gausman, who could be on the move, he picked up the win, his 8th of the season. The Tigers, however, win the series 2-1. And bad news as well for the Toronto Blue Jays is a calf injury for Bo Bichette, going to be out weeks. So it'll be interesting to see if Tampa, or Toronto rather, is going to be open for business over the next 8 days. Boston have been red hot going into the All-Star break. They go out to Chavez Ravine. And let's just say they got cooled off in a big way.
Ohtani, right field, forget about it. A massive shot. Wow. 473 feet.
That was one of the 6 home runs the Dodgers hit last night. Shohei Ohtani, Carl Ravitch, ESPN on the call. 9-6 final score as the Dodgers sweep the Red Sox and maintain their advantage in the NL West and doing the Orioles a favor. Because remember, going into the break, Boston had closed to within 4.5 games. So they were kind of breathing down some necks there, but had it had to go against them, against the Dodgers out west. Now today, as we said, Tampa's at New York in progress. Bottom or top of the second inning. Looks like the Rays have a guy on first against Carlos Rodon. Keep you up to date on the score until we get out of here at 2. And then later on tonight, speaking of Boston, they're at Colorado, taking on the Rockies. Standings. American League East, they'll be on. Orioles 60-39 on the year. 2 games up on the Yankees. Boston, as we said, just got swept. They're 6.5 back. Tampa's 10 out. And Toronto, they're starting to fall into their over territory. But we'll see here in the Central. Cleveland 5 up on both Minnesota and Kansas City. Houston, they caught and actually passed Seattle. And then Seattle got them yesterday. So there's a virtual tie for first place in the AL West. Texas is 5 out there. In the National League East, Philly, 8.5 up on Atlanta. Max Fried dealing with some forearm soreness. Ozzie Albies is hurt. So the Braves right now just decimated by injuries. Mets are 12.5 out. Brujas 5 up on the Cardinals. 7 up on the Pirates in the Central National League. And then the Dodgers 8 games up on both Arizona and San Diego. The wild cards, real quick. If the playoffs started today, Yankees, Twins, and Royals would be in. Boston's a game back. Seattle's 2.5 back. Tampa's 4.5 back. But speaking of Toronto, Nolan, they're 9.5 out of the wild card. I'm thinking they're solid. They're yard sailing here.
Right.
Get that Honus Wagner card.
They can try to convince themselves, you know, for the longest time here, we're still in it. We're still in it. I mean, the question is, all right, if you're going to sell, who are you selling? Right? Because they remain, you know, very consistent, at least for the past year, that, all right, Bichette's still our guy. Vlad's still our guy. We intend to sign them long term. And that's fine. But what other pieces do you really have that you can sell off and then sort of not rebuild, but retool, if you will, to build around your stars?
This is a team that made the playoffs the previous two seasons. Didn't last long, but playoffs nonetheless. And now their window has slammed shut. Again, 9.5 out of the wild card. National League, real quick, Braves, Cardinals are in. And then you got a three-way tie with the Mets, Diamondbacks, Padres. Giants are three out, but the Pirates are only a half game out of first place. And you don't think Major League Baseball, Nolan, would like to see Paul Skeens thrown in a playoff game in October?
I'm getting a little sick of hearing about him, if I'm being honest.
There you go.
I mean, he's great. He's fun to watch. Crazy electric stuff. Sort of, you know, Strasburg-like when you start comparing, like, all-time pitching prospects who make an instant impact. But, yeah, I mean, it's getting a little annoying.
Well, I wish he was annoying in black and orange, if you know what I'm saying. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, hear from John Harbaugh, who, as Jason Cole said, could be annoying to some people himself. And then it's a fun house trip with Nolan McGraw. And then it's Inside Access coming up at 2 here on The Fan. 5880-1057 The Fan here on this Monday. Vinny's out of one winning drive. Ravens. Day two, training camp. Darryl Worley is out there in uniform, according to Jeff Zrebeck from The Athletic, as he's tweeted that one out there. So bringing in some reinforcements in the defensive backfield, it seems, are the Baltimore Ravens. Yankees 2-0 right now over the Rays, as well as in Volpe. Nolan's favorite player, just going back-to-back off Littell. So 2-0, New York, bottom of the second, up in the Bronx, as the Yankees are trying to get themselves a series split against Tampa. Orioles are off tonight in Miami, taking on the Marlins. But let's get to John Harbaugh. Met with the media yesterday, talking about some things, including his impressions of his ball club first day of training camp.
Fans, the energy, the effort of the guys, the intentionality of them. It was really fun, and it's a start. It's a beginning of a ramp-up period. Jerseys, helmets, tempo being what it is, I thought it was very sharp today, and we'll go forward from here. It's our beginning. Our goal right now, get better every day. What questions do you have?
John sounded like he might hit the espresso machine a little bit yesterday before he met with the media, but as you can tell, he's fired up. Expectations are high for this year's team, and rightfully so. But John Harbaugh always, Nolan, seems to have that edge towards him, and seemed like he was already kind of running out of the media a little bit as I try to be a voice analyst here.
Right. I mean, the energy was high. And then I don't know where sequentially the Lamar rant, if you will, was in the press conference. Was it the first question, you know, early half, back half? But long answers, high energy. Probably be that way until the first injury wave comes, and then he'll shut it down and, you know, short, terse answers.
And it's also like Jason Cole said about the Lamar commentary. Just say, hey, look, I've got a two-time MVP. We have one of the best quarterbacks in football, and we'll take our chances with him over anybody else in the league. But to start talking about him as the greatest quarterback of all time, I mean, what are you doing? I mean, that's a lot of pressure. I don't think Lamar gives a bleep about it, quite frankly, because Lamar said the first day he was a Raven, when they drafted him, he's trying to win Super Bowls, and that's his goal, that's his quest. But, I mean, let's ramp it down a little bit, dude.
And the only thing it does is create headlines. So now, you know, ESPN, and then, of course, we were talking about First Take on ESPN earlier today. You know, they're talking about Lamar. Why are they talking about it? Well, because of what Harbaugh said. But to me, I don't really have a inherent problem with his comments. He's supporting his guy. And in a way, it kind of reminds me of, you know, Joe Flacco. You remember the year before the Super Bowl, and he was going into the final year of his rookie deal. And, you know, there was some interview he did where, you know, they said, where do you think you are amongst quarterbacks right now? Top 10, top 5. And he was just said bluntly, well, I think I'm the best. And it made all the headlines, and it sparked all the, is Joe Flacco elite, that whole joke. And what do you want him to say?
I'm fourth.
I can name about seven guys that are better than me right now. I mean, no professional athlete or anyone who works in sports that's actually wants to take themselves serious is going to say that someone else is better than them.
Here's John Harbaugh. Let's see what he has to say about signing veteran safety Eddie Jackson.
Very excited to bring in Eddie Jackson. I mean, he's a guy that I can remember like it was yesterday. Boy, time flies.
Oh, wow.
Life is short, run to the ball. And I remember him running to the ball for Alabama. You know, when we were looking at the draft and having all these good years in Chicago, playing against him. Now to have him here, see, I happened to be at the hotel last night doing bed check when he came in, you know, on his flight. And I was like, oh, you're taller than I remember. You know, it's like, I just saw him 3 days ago. So he's ready to go. Big smile on his face. Very excited.
And got some snaps day one of training camp, too. So, in theory, is he an upgrade over Geno Stone? I think past performance says yeah, even though let's not forget the contributions that Geno Stone made to last year's defense. But if Eddie Jackson's healthy, Nolan, and there's still something left in there, you know, the Ravens are going to have maybe one of the top, if not the best, safety trios in football this year.
Right. I like the signing a lot. You know, the health is really the only concern. You know, he's got an all-pro Pro Bowl past and a pedigree with Chicago, and I think him having that familiarity with Roquan Smith and vice versa, you know, that's going to make things a little bit easier, that those two have played a lot of football together. There is a trust factor built in there, and wouldn't surprise me if, you know, Eric DaCosta went to Roquan and said, hey, we're thinking about some of these veteran safety options of guys we could bring in. You played a lot with Eddie. What do you think he could bring to this defense, this new scheme? And I'm sure Roquan vouched for him.
It's 58-80, 105.7 The Fan. And finally, Kyle Van Noy had a big year for the Ravens, 9 sacks in 14 games. John Harbaugh was asked about having him for an entire training camp and an entire season.
Kyle, to be here from the beginning is a big difference, you know. And I tell you, you know, Kyle's a pro. He knows how to get himself ready. He proved that last year. But then also the fact that he's a leader. And having him on board as a leader from the beginning is a big plus for us.
Leadership skills aside, if I'm making an early prediction here, over under 9 sacks, I'm betting under for Kyle Van Noy this year, 33 years old.
Right. And that's not really a big issue because his floor is still in that 5 or 6 range. You know, if he was going to come in under 9, but you know, he's in the 2-3 range, a non-factor, disappearing for large portions of games. All right, we've got a problem at that point. But if he's going to play a full slate or close to it, you know, 15, 16 games, get you 5 or 6 sacks, be a consistent force out there, you know what he brings from a leadership standpoint, I think the Ravens are going to get their money's worth.
Hard-pressed to duplicate the 60 as a team, though? I'm thinking, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
If it drops into the 40 range, then they're going to have some problems here, I'm guessing.
Well, they were the best in the league last year, so you know that should tell you all you need to know there. But just in Ravens history, I mean, what? One other year where they were around that range, 06, where they had just insane sack
Trevor
stats.
Price and all those guys.
Everyone was getting double-digit sacks that year, so that just doesn't happen. But it doesn't mean the defense can't be successful. But expecting 60 again with the moves that they've made, I'd be stunned.
It's 58-80, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, Funhouse Trip with Nolan. Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. Orioles are off today. Back at it tomorrow in Miami. Take it on the Marlins, who, by the way, are way out of it this year. Cordell Woodland, colleague here on The Fan, X-ing this out. No Lamar, not a practice. Second consecutive day dealing with an illness. So Lamar Jackson missing the first couple of days of training camp. He's been there for a week. So I guess the illness just kind of happened over the last 48 hours or so. Ravens did announce officially that they've re-signed DB Darrell Worley to the active roster. And he is, in fact, on the practice field. Yankees 2-0 over the Rays. Top 3 in the Bronx. Or bottom 3 now, as they try to salvage a split. 4-game series. Tampa's won the last 2, which helped the Orioles, who are 2 games up in the East. Birds are off tonight. Miami, 3 games. And then the San Diego Padres come to town Friday night, starting a big old series there. As Manny Machado, Jackson Merrill, gets to play in front of his home fans, even though he grew up Red Sox fan, which I won't necessarily hold against him. Unless he liked Yaz more than Cal Ripken, then we're going to have ourselves a little problemo there Jackson Merrill, but Nolan, enough of my jibber jabber. Let's get out of here. A little fun, Astrid.
First text here says the Orioles should not have been so quick to let Kyle Gibson walk in free agency, even if he was pitching at the level he did last year, not what he is this year. With St. Louis, he would be a huge boost for the O's rotation right now, would have only taken a one-year commitment as well.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. And it seemed as though Gibson, there was no shot he was coming back, and he's helped St. Louis, who kind of want the veteran, brought Lance Lynn back. They've kind of want all veterany there in the National League Central. And right now, they're a wild card kind of team, not that far back, five of Milwaukee. But is Gibson really an upgrade over Dean Kramer if we're talking short series stuff here?
No, I mean, it doesn't solve your playoff question. It would just help you get through the regular season, I imagine, because, yes, he's better than Suarez, or a little more stable or consistent, I guess, of a starting pitcher presence than that, but and Cole Irvin as well, for that matter. But, yeah, I don't think that really solves any major playoff concerns for the
And let's not forget, as much as he did to help the team during the regular season, he had pitched himself out of the rotation by the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't even part. It was going to be, you know, Bradish, Grayson, Meansy, and Kramer. And then Means got hurt, obviously. We all know what happened. But Kyle Gibson wasn't even part of the rotation in October.
Another text here talking about Harbaugh's comments on Lamar. This texter says, yeah, probably a bit much from Harbaugh there. Lamar won't even end up being top 20 all time. That's not an insult. Just a lot of history in the league. He's athletic, not one of the best. Plus, at this point of his career, how much more can he really grow in his late 20s?
He can get better throwing the deep balls. We've talked about a lot, throwing outside the numbers. But what I'm looking at, everybody, is not necessarily where he'll rate historically at the end of the day in the National Football League. I look at the fact that he's one of the four or five best quarterbacks in the league now, which means your team has a chance to win a Super Bowl. And he gives them that chance.
Vinny also posed the question earlier, better chance of making a championship run right now, Ravens under their current construction or the Orioles? Chris checking in here says, I would say the Orioles have an easier path to a championship just because they don't have to worry about one bad game derailing everything. The Ravens seem to play their worst when the playoffs roll around.
Yeah, 1-3 at home in the last few playoff appearances for them. Orioles need to upgrade in the rotation and then in the bullpen to give a more reliable arm to help Craig Kimbrel there. And by the way, how relieved, no pun intended, was he when the Orioles won that game against New York in the series finale after he had blown the save, walked the 8-9 hitter, and then gave up a 3-run bomb to Rice. I mean, you see him running out to get Cedric Mullins, like, thank you, thank you, thank you. But Cano's not missing a lot of bats nowadays, people. And he's not the all-star that we saw last year. I'm not saying he sucks, but, you know, Coulomb might not be back till September, if at all. They need another bullpen piece, too. And I'm starting to think a right-handed bat in the outfield could be a necessity.
Right. But that always just comes down to a playtime thing.
Right.
I mean, I think you can shuffle enough around within your own organization to get, I know he's an infielder, but Kobe Mayo up here. Explore your in-house options first if you're looking for a spark in your lineup.
Get old Connor Norby up there. He's been playing some outfield. Why not?
Let's see. Another one here. Texter says, outside of the blow-up he had against the Cubs, Dean Kramer has been okay since returning from injury. Needs to go deeper in games, though. Not sure if Hyde is trying to protect his arm because he hasn't reached 90 pitches in his four recent outings.
Yeah, well, he said, we heard his cuts, Kramer, that is, after the loss yesterday. Feels fine physically. His command just took a hike on him a little bit and lends the 3-run homer to Jonah Heim. I don't mind Kramer, but if you're trying to match up with Seattle's big three, you know, you're going to need the Bradish thing is now starting to irk me all of a sudden. Unless you bring in Tarik Skubal then. So, yay. Even Garrett Crochet. Next year, I'm feeling better about what he could do. Because all we hear about is this innings cap that he might be hitting here in August and September. He's never started before at the major league level.
Right.
This year.
If he's going to be one of your additions, that's fine. I mean, the talent's there, obviously. But I would almost consider him your bullpen addition. He can start when he gets here, but that innings limit, I just can't shake that. Sure. I'm not going to ignore that blindly and just assume that this guy is going to be good not only through the rest of the regular season, but into October.
Yeah, but to answer that, I'm cool with Kramer for the most part.
One last one here, Santander. Long-term, his future here. This texter says, Santander is good, but there's a reason the Orioles have invested so much into their minor leagues and player development, especially outfielders. Signing him to a long-term deal just isn't happening.
I would cap him at three. I would go with that offer, 3 years, 20 mil, 60 million total. Whether or not he accepts it remains to be seen. Keep in mind, we still have, the rest of July, August, September, heading into the postseason. This guy's going to hit over 40 home runs, and he might be the guy that carries their offense for long stretches of time. Hey, we'll see if David Rubenstein's ready to start writing some big checks. It's not my money. I'm still paying $18 for a beer anyway. I just want to make sure we keep our power in-house. The switch hitter thing has a lot to do with it as well. And he's bouncing back defensively after a couple of injury-plagued shaky seasons, I guess, with the glove. That's going to do it for us. No Lamar out of training camp again today. Hopefully he'll be there tomorrow. We'll be back with Turn It Up Tuesday as well. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, Inside Access coming up next. I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.